There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. You know what I tell you? You know what's getting for real out here right now?
Uh-huh.
Honestly, my Citizen app is blowing up with the oddest crimes, but it's a lot of just people like waving saws in the air.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust the Citizen app anymore. You know me.
Whoa.
I'm a hero. You're a hero as well. You get
sure.
an alert. Someone's throwing golf balls at someone, which is a true alert that I got recently.
Mm-hmm.
You go outside. There's no golf balls to be found. There's
because
no one doing anything.
It's already been posted. The time the crime maybe has passed, or you're not looking closely enough at the address. I'm not going to say anything, Kissel.
Uh-huh.
But you might not have the best attention to detail when it
I
comes
have,
down to
what
addresses.
What are you talking about? I get an alert. I'm like Batman. I'm looking, and I'm like, I wish my parents gave me all the money in the world. Yeah, where is it?
Where is it?
I step outside, Henry, and now I'm screaming, where's the golf balls? Where's the golf balls? Now, you know what? On everyone else's Citizen app, large, drunk Wisconsin man screaming, where are his golf balls?
That's what makes it semi-real. It is a self-proliferating, proliferating? This is a great way to start. But the other day, Citizen app, thing fired up and that showed me and it said like two dudes beating another guy in the street.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you can attach video to it, right? So when you're filming to people follow up, it's like a weird social media, the way that immediately turned into a social media platform. And so there was these two guys beat up another dude and he kept going, shit getting wild out here. Coronavirus. Coronavirus.
Well, I don't know if that's the coronavirus's fault. It can be blamed for quite a bit, but not these two guys beating up a random stranger.
From now on, though, that's how I'm using to describe or get out of any situation I'm in. If I'm caught shirtless in a grocery store, I'm just going to go, coronavirus.
I agree. Wild
times. Shit getting real down here. Coronavirus.
It's getting real everywhere. Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben with Henry. We got some corona-related adjacent stories when it comes to murder and death. We'll talk about those a little bit later on.
I wanted to start, Kissel, with a fun little, just start with an email that I just thought was really interesting.
You want to start with the email?
Yeah. This comes from a listener. Hi, Henry and Ben. I work at a group home for young adults with severe mental illnesses and cognitive disabilities.
Today, thank you. Thank you so much for what you do. That's very difficult.
Obviously, it's very, yes. Yes, definitely. It's very difficult. Well, today I noticed one of the residents appeared disheveled, so I gently encouraged him to shower, offering to provide one of the spare towels if he needed it. He replied that he does not use towels and refers to air dry, and he has never used towels in his entire life. He's been living in this home for over a year now, and we just learned this. So I just thought Ben would like to know that he has been caring for his daily hygiene in the same manner of a young man with paranoid delusions and intellectual delays.
Isn't that wonderful? And you know, that's why everyone has a beautiful mind. You know, this is the version, I forget the name of the movie, but
this
let's just say
you?
Somebody played a janitor.
It's
Next
called
thing you know,
A Beautiful
they're good
Mind.
At
There's no, a movie no. called A Beautiful Mind.
I'm thinking of Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, no, that's called Smarty Pants Boss and Janitor. I love that movie. But I don't think that this is about A Beautiful Mind. It's just about saying that you technically have a fully functioning, I'm going to say almost normal brain.
Yeah, some would say above. Some say above.
Who?
I'm not sure. Whoever I convinced to say it at gunpoint. So the thing is, this kid, he's getting dry. And you notice one other little tidbit. Who is the dumb one in the house? They didn't know he was air drying for a year. So the only time that they were even confronted with the idea he may not be using a towel is when he said, I don't need government handouts.
No, it's because they finally just looked at him. No, a towel's not a government handout.
And in this case, it literally is. In this case, everything that man has is a government handout.
That
but that's all
kid,
and thank
that
God.
Kid is.
Yes.
That, absolutely. Yes, that's a government handout. But not this time. Your scenario, you can voluntarily get towels, but now you have so many Now you have as many towels as a Kardashian now.
I am giving away so many clothes, so many towels. As soon as people are allowed to be within 1 foot of each other again, come spring, it's a Ben Kissel giveaway. Hope you guys are ready to get some big t-shirts because they are going to be on my stoop.
How charming. Indeed. And inviting. I can't wait to see all your free stretched out shirts just on Henry, the stoop of your Brooklyn slum house that you live in.
It's called being very nice, Henry. It's called giving to people, and that's what it's all about. But speaking of giving,
I didn't mean to start with an attack.
No, I know, but you did, but that's okay.
I did.
I know. But speaking of giving, this story has been giving for a long time, and we do have a small update on what's going on with Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow.
The kids have been found, and they're all going to the Super Bowl.
What? The kids are going to the Super Bowl? Everything is fine?
They're at the bottom of a ravine.
Oh, that's actually very sad.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything. I just do what I just say things that I think maybe probably are true at this point, as we're going to see. They're trying to move things along in the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell case. They are at a standstill. The kids are still nowhere to be seen.
Nope.
I don't know why they have not been declared deceased. I guess it takes years.
I guess so. Of course, that's JJ and Tylee, the parents, or the mom, or rather, Lori Vallow. Still, people don't really know exactly what happened to Chad Daybell's late wife. That's Tammy Daybell. And so now, finally, the police have said that Chad and Lori are possibly going to be on the hook for conspiracy murder and attempted murder of Tammy Daybell. So they're opening up the possible investigation into that. So
to clarify, remember, it's such a complicated story, but Chad Daybell's wife died mysteriously.
Yes.
So at first they said it was natural and they weren't sure how she died, but I guess what this is saying that the police are now saying that she died suspiciously.
Yes.
And they're trying to put it on them.
So this is the first time this happened. This is earlier this month. Fremont County prosecutor, he wrote to the AG's office requesting assistance into the investigation. Death of Tammy Daybell. And for the first time, again, as I said, they put conspiracy murder and attempted murder, and they are saying that that Lori and Chad are potentially responsible for that woman's death. So that adds three people now, that these two have
four.
Most like four people that it's these four. Two have possibly, or wink, wink, probably murdered.
Yeah. And, hopefully they'll go to jail for about 1 million years, but it's going to take a while because it is very difficult to prove somebody guilty of murder if you don't have the body. So they have to figure out where these poor kids are.
Yes.
But you have these two other victims that hopefully we can at least get them on that.
Unless, of course, they're 100% innocent. And if that is the case, let the courts decide.
Thank you, Solomon.
But
is that who it is?
How many dead bodies are you surrounded by? That's my only question. You know, when it comes to these things, of course, you are innocent until proven guilty. But at some point, you're like, how many dead bodies
have to keep showing up?
I know they have to show up, but it seems like there's a lot of corpses around this couple. And most couples in love, they have friends and family. They go out to Outback Steakhouse. They have the Bloomin' Onion, even though it's the worst thing you can get on the menu when it comes to health.
Maybe I'll eat a whole one, though.
I know, because you're healthy.
I miss it.
You got to get your veggies.
I miss being able to fold a Bloomin' Onion into my system.
But with these people, they got four corpses. At the very least, they're surrounded by ghosts. I'm going to say something's going on. Something's going on.
Somebody asked the Clintons that same question.
Mm-hmm.
What we have, it's fun. Fun
there
little
it
orders
is.
To delve into. I got an email also about that. I guess the idea of doing some form of waifu tribute is actually fairly common. What I was looking here is that the Corona Chan explanation that I received from an email from a listener, we talked about last time how people have been building sort of COVID-19 essentially virtual altars.
Can I call it a booby totem?
It is a titty totem. I would call it as that. It's basically it's COVID-19 and depicted as a big titted Asian girl with wings and a oxygen tank as its little weapon, like it's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from the 90s. But what they have is apparently the anime community, it turns absolutely everything into some form of anime girl. There are entire subreddits based upon this for some reason. And the one thing that this listener pointed me towards is reddit.com/momorphism.
Okay.
reddit.com/r/momorphism. And so one was that I saw here, it's U.S. Department of State Chan that shows her with her pussy out. With an American flag thing on there, and she looks like an eagle from the dollar bill, but her pussy's out.
Now, what does that signify? The end of the coronavirus? Or
no,
if she sees her pussy, we have 2 more weeks of summer? What happens? I think
it's another way to just look at pussies and tits that are cartoons. There's Mr. Krabs Chan from SpongeBob.
SpongeBob.
Where it's just a big-titted woman with the crab eye things on the top of her head. And then there's also Nintendo Switch Chan.
Huh.
That's just a big-titted woman with that kind of shit. And it's like weird things, obsession with the Rockefellers. But, you know, I guess any sort of excuse to draw tits on something. I mean, I'm all for it.
Well, the question is, how big are the bosom become? Because, of course, that's going to be an indicator of how much the coronavirus is spread. Are we seeing a reduction at any point in her bosom? If we're going to be covering the coronavirus, we might as well do it accurately here. We have got to hope that she gets down to a B cup by mid-May so we can open up this government again
and open up
the economy.
But unless it's for medical reasons, we all hate a breast reduction.
I don't know, Henry. I think some ladies, they might need a breast reduction for their backs, Mr. Zabrowski.
That's what I said. Medically,
isn't that unbelievable?
If they want you to do it, then you should do it. If you're uncomfortable, you should do it.
Yes.
I'm sorry for everything. I'm just saying.
I don't like the breast reductions. I like them to be big and sloppy and just all messed up all the time. Meanwhile, we got someone suffering from spina bifida back here for your sick sexual Polish pleasures.
It's not all the time. I just think it's nice some of the time. Lordy Lou. Speaking of making wives disappear, apparently COVID-19 is we talked a little bit about this.
Yes, we did. This was going to happen.
We were saying that that COVID-19 is a good smokescreen for a lot of crime. I think that after this, we're going to see more and more people, kind of like what people did during 9/11, where they used 9/11 as a chance to disappear. They used 9/11 as a chance to get even with, I guess, rival gangs.
Sure, yeah. Disappear people. Obviously, the fire department, the police, the national government was focused on one thing and one thing alone. So they didn't care if you went and committed acts of violence on 150th Street.
They didn't care. But now, I think we're going to start seeing more and more of that. So here's one very, very specific story. This comes from the Daily Beast, as referred to by the New York Post, by Pilar Melendez. Florida husband allegedly killed wife used COVID-19 to cover up her disappearance. A Florida husband has been charged in the murder of his estranged wife, who disappeared without a trace last month, and authorities allege he tried to cover up the grisly crime by sending a text message claiming she tested positive for the coronavirus. Coronavirus!
So how would this even work? The coronavirus, in his mind, he would just be like, the cops will think the coronavirus is armed now.
That would be incredible. At least that would be what a refreshing way to fight it if it just was guns.
That's true.
So David Anthony, 48, has been charged with second-degree murder. The 51-year-old, his wife, Gretchen Anthony, or ex-wife, was reportedly last seen on March 20th at her Florida home. But she looks like she might have been murdered the following day. A witness told authorities that on March 25th, she received a suspicious text message from Gretchen 2 days prior, claiming that she had contracted COVID-19 and she was being held by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention after checking out of Jupiter Medical Center. So she's saying that she flew all the way to Atlanta.
Okay.
That was how special and crazy her case was.
And this text went to her mother?
It went to her friend.
Went to her friend. Okay, so her friend got a text message saying that it was from this woman. All right.
The same witness also told authorities that while the couple has been married for 5 years, they'd recently separated after jointly filing for divorce on February 28th. So they just got divorced. The divorce hearings was just heating up, and then the plague starts.
Okay.
Right? Authorities said another witness later said she'd also received a March 24th text from Gretchen Anthony's phone stating that Gretchen had COVID-19 and was being sedated by the CDC, the affidavit states.
Okay.
By March 26th, messages sent to the witnesses from Gretchen Anthony's phone stated that she was being placed at a ventilator in Palms West Hospital. So he started slowly but surely, like, ramping up the story, saying that she was just about to die, even though, don't you understand, you could have figured this out very, very quickly. They also were going to find out. They don't know where her body is.
That's so scary. Also, she would have called, like, this guy. He is just such a classic moron where he really thought that this was going to trick everybody. You don't just send a text being like, oh, I'm dying from corona. You can also make a call. Or it would just be a lot more elaborate and heartfelt than just a random text message.
You know, who knows? Somebody's been watching a lot of Oxygen Network, that's for certain, thinking that that's how you cover up your tracks. But he does know, whatever he's done, does know that you got to get rid of the body to get rid of the crime.
Yeah.
It looks like they have some pretty strong evidence, but we're not really certain yet that he did murder her, because right now she's just missing. The officer soon focused, so their focus came in on the 48-year-old husband, David Anthony, who was separated from her in February, and his vocabulary, it seemed to match the coronavirus messages that were sent. So he's like sent stuff that were, he had little ticks in there that obviously were things that he says in texts versus what she says in texts. So you have to learn tone, y'all, if you're going to fake being somebody else. A neighbor at the couple's home told officers she had heard a blood-curdling scream and then a woman's voice pleading, no, no, it hurts. And as the investigation progressed and further evidence was collected, it is believed that David E. Anthony is responsible for her disappearance and related homicide.
Yes.
So he was found in New Mexico. He went all the way to Las Cruces, New Mexico, on March 31st, which is when they finally picked him up. And so now they're charging him with second-degree murder and kidnapping and is being held awaiting extradition to Palm Beach County.
Yeah, so this 43-year-old dude, he is now being charged. Evidently, he is, like, not unfamiliar with acting all strange. This is according to a Riviera Beach police report. They say that Anthony, he has been seen approaching groups of girls, quote, pacing back and forth and sweating profusely. They go on to say an officer noticed his license plate had been tampered with using black electrical tape to alter the numbers on the tag, which is a dead giveaway that you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, you're doing something bad. If you need to fuck with your own license plate, that's not a license plate just saying, like, to be laid.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's what you should be doing with your license plate, is telling everybody just how much sex you're having and how cool your Corvette is.
Of course. So when questioned about the tape, he blamed his 12-year-old stepdaughter and then tried to leave. The officer then held him at gunpoint after Anthony tried to grab something from underneath his driver's seat. They cuffed him. He was arrested March 14th. So this dude, not just did he most likely kill his ex-wife, he is most likely also a playground pervert who doesn't need to be on the streets any longer, not to mention the tampering with a federal license plate.
Hey,
what's
amateur,
next?
He is an amateur PE teacher.
Okay,
and sometimes it takes a stranger to teach a bunch of young girls how to play dodgeball.
Well, they certainly had to run away from this monster.
Well, they had to run away from his balls. Talking about dodging the balls.
Good Lord.
Good Lord. Well, you know, we'll see how this pans out. I don't think a lot good is going to come out of it, but it just shows, again, if you're going to use COVID-19 to cover your crimes, center it on yourself. Use it to, like, if you're going to use COVID-19 to get out of something, just use it for yourself to get out of work.
You can get
out of any sort of obligation right now. Everybody has got a get out of jail free card of any single family event or any single thing that's going on. I will say I'm very thankful for COVID-19 because of the only two holidays so far it's ruined are the two worst ones, which is St. Patrick's Day and Easter.
Oh, all right. You didn't throw Valentine's Day in there. I guess we have that coming right up here.
It was after.
When is Valentine's Day?
February 14th.
No
the most romantic man in the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, no one actually likes it. You know, they overcharge you at the restaurant.
It's a fake holiday.
So one witness texted this fella, and she was like, what the hell is going on? His reply didn't match the other text. He said, this is what he texted the witness. She mentioned something about going to the beach around herself because she wasn't feeling well. And then he also reported, then she proceeded to tell me I should plead insanity on some bogus police charges I've been dealing with. So this guy is just...
He's a slime ball, yeah.
He's a slime ball. A cadaver dog, which is trained to sniff out human remains, alerted police to the signs of a dead body at Anthony's home and inside the suspect's, the husband's truck. But they did not find the body, but it looks like he probably transported her in a pickup truck, which is a horrible advertisement for the Dodge Ram. And I don't know why they decided to go there with it, but...
It's a lot of hauling power.
You
need 150 horses to take that wife to an unmarked grave.
Yep, they
but
also...
But we here at Dodge Ram, we are here to know that no matter what happens during our quarantine, yeah, you can't drive.
No.
Yeah, you can't go to the store.
No.
Yeah, you can't go to a restaurant, but mm-mm. You could always sit in a garage... Look at your car, and that's what we here at Dodge Ram have sacrificed. We have sacrificed to make sure that you can get a car you can sit inside of to avoid your family during quarantine.
Make sure you remind them not to turn it on. That's a horrible way to die. Do not do that.
I am so sick of these companies congratulating themselves for selling us things. all right, so let's do a little news of the weird. So that's some quarantine murders.
Just lastly with this, just more evidence that she did not go to the beach. Her purse was found in her Mini Cooper, which was a blue Mini Cooper. So she didn't even bring her purse. So this woman.
No, and she's got to bring her purse to the beach.
Of course.
Because you never know, you're going to want to rent a boogie board. You're going to want to go to the popcorn stand. I don't know if I haven't been to a beach in years.
Pina colada.
I'm certain they have these things. Pina coladas.
Pina colada.
All right, so let's get into some news of the weird.
Okay.
We're doing The Summer is Strange.
Yeah.
Is what we're calling it. More weird news out there. It's thank God that fucking faucet never runs dry. This comes from a Twitter account that has been breaking various pieces of news they've been getting from Freedom of Information Act requests about information about the KGB and the CIA doing long-term research into black magic and psyops in order to have psychic fights with each other. It's absolutely incredible. Look
so
at NatSecGeek's Twitter account. It's NatSecGeek. And they have got some great documents breaking down these very interesting things that they've been talking about. Now, what is interesting about the KGB is that oftentimes they will plant specifically wild information just to see what the U.S.'s reaction is to this information.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, we either act like we are doing the same thing that they're doing, or we call them ludicrous, and then we do the same thing that they're doing because we think maybe they're onto something, but we also then may not have a full idea of what the heck that is they're doing because it seems they're putting some money into it. If you read this recent post that NatSecGeek put up, it shows that the KGB has been putting a lot of time, or they did put a lot of time in the late 1960s, 1969 in specific, 1969 specifically, they've been devoting entire groups to collecting information on black magic.
Hmm.
This group was headed by a man named DJ Mirza, who's given his own secret laboratory. It's M4 in the appendix if you read this little document. It's deep in Moscow. What they've been showing is that using black magic techniques, is there a way to weaponize it against the United States of America?
Right.
And one thing that they seem to have done, they've been trying to fold parapsychology research into this, is that one thing that they said that they created was a thing called a psychotronic generator that was used to duplicate psychic effects, that it was a machine that you could hold in your hand, a handheld instrument that you could be able to use hold it in your hand, then you could move pieces of paper around on a table from far away. And then they don't know whether or not that's just a fan or whether or not that it is an actual psychic machine, or whether or not it's entirely fake.
Or is it someone doing... Did you ever see the classic... I believe there was a documentary about this guy. The old dude, white fella, white hair. He would test all the psychics. And there was one guy who could make paper move through a phone book. But then he put all the like little styrofoam stuff there. And he's like, now do it without moving the styrofoam. And he couldn't do it because he would just like blow underneath very subtly on the paper. He was a really interesting guy who used to bust open a lot of those.
James Randi.
Yes.
James Randi was
a guy. Hoot.
Yes, he was a hoot. He ruined everybody's good time, but I also understand it's important to debunk things that are blatantly fake.
I also agree with that, because I'm in a catch-22 because I watch the Magic Greatest Reveals, and I'll watch it on YouTube, and I'll be like, oh, but then afterwards, I am like, I need to? Of course.
I didn't want
First
to
of
know
all,
that.
The one thing you always learn, I've said this before, it's just the women doing all the work.
It's just very skinny women that do everything in Magic. Natalie had several friends that worked within the magical assistant world.
Yes.
Like her friend Heather, who's also a very talented photographer, but she basically, that's what it was. You just have the very thin waist and be able to fit through the various compartments. So it'd be very slithery.
And then a man just stands there at the very end and takes all the applause as, again, somewhat very little. But
he spent a lot of time packaging it. But
they do.
Look, there's a statement that I wanted to read.
Okay, cool.
That comes from what I love is, so, you know, you get the little bit interior view of how the CIA views the Soviet Union and also how they were doing their own work. So this little item that this Twitter account posted was interesting. The amazing thing to me is that many prominent Soviet scientists appear so involved politically that they are concerned only with the possibility of their own promotion and do not see what is going on in their own laboratories. The research is very sloppy, and often their alleged discoveries are later disproven. You watch the Chernobyl series, you see a lot of that built in, too. It's a lot of just whatever it is that they need to do to suck up to the commanding officer in order to keep moving up, because if you're not moving up, then
you're
eventually you will
down.
Be fired. Yes.
And that's the kind of sucking up to the commanding officer you don't want to do. No. This is according to Gordon Thomas's 2007 book, Secrets and Lies, the CIA's Operation Often. So this is according to Project MK Often. This is a project, evidently, that they would explore the world of black magic. This is according to Dr. Sidney Gottlieb. And they would, quote, harness the forces of darkness and challenge the concept that the inner reaches of the mind are beyond reach. And evidently, this went as far as talking with fortune tellers, palm readers, clairvoyants, astrologists, mediums, psychics, specialists in demonology, witches, warlocks, Satanists, and other occult practitioners, which if you are working for the CIA, this is a fun-ass project to be on.
This is awesome. This is where you want to get to. But the thing is that they would ship, I imagine that they would ship the least important employees.
Yeah.
They would go and say, it would be me if I worked for the CIA, which is what I would hope to do.
Sure.
I would be crossing my mind being like, you know, I'd be crossing my fingers saying like, you know, I'm going to get killed in Saudi Arabia. All right, let's all face facts.
Definitely.
But I'm really good at working with magicians.
You'd be like the guy, I just watched McMillions and I know I'm like a year and a half
it's
behind.
Great.
But the main, his name is Doug. You would have just been like that, be like, I'm really looking to deep dive into certain kind of things, occult, witchcraft. What do you want me to do again?
You want me to pretend to be a witch? I can get candles. I can show my tits. Let's do this. All right, another thing, if you go to muckrock.com, which was this Twitter account's one of the blogs they post to, I love this fucking story. This Life Imitates Akira. This is an article Emma Best wrote.
Ooh.
The NSA's fear of psychic nukes. Basically, they had this idea that a part of the one long-term idea that the Soviets, the reason why they might be so deep inside of the world of the psychic, use it like and trying to discover like new weapons, right? They're trying to figure out a way to weaponize it. And one concept was taking a group of psychics and making them attack a city and making it disappear.
Okay.
That they said that they started to believe this concept. They put out what they think might be fake, but they said that they had discovered these things called PSIs, things that were inside of cells that they said were the ways that the physicalization of psychic powers, and they were deep inside of our cellular material, which they think that might be misinformation, like purposefully put in. They did that to fuck with people. But if not, that's fucking sweet.
So this was all from a 1977 NSA memo. Basically, the first event raised by the NSA note is a CIA report which mentioned KBG research into parapsychology. According to this, the KGB used hobbyists and non-governmental researchers to talk to Western scientists. Like, literally, this job is just go and fuck with Western scientists.
That's
and
what they would do.
That's what it was.
But the Russians, they have always been massive tricksters.
So they are.
You go and you feed fake information to the U.S. to get them scrambling to do something, but then at the same time, you're so compartmentalized within your own weird Soviet government stuff. So I imagine there are people desperately taking these research things seriously and maybe discovering real things about psychic abilities, but at the same time, the government's not taking it seriously. Specifically, you are literally an entire bureau that is just a decoy for the U.S. the U.S. Army.
Well, that's
so
it.
You are working in essentially a world that does not matter to anyone, which is very unfortunate.
Absolutely. So some of the reasons are very interesting. So some people think this was just an effort to provoke radio chatter, which the Soviets could then use to track kind of what the U.S. interests are and activities. Another theory that this was just simply a warning to the West to stay away from sensitive Soviet research. And a third theory was it was, quote, a double think ploy to pretend interest in a clumsy manner to make us think that this was really just a deception to trick the West into believing there was interest when there really was none. While the last theory might sound paranoid, this is how a denial and deception, this is how that would operate. It's something the Russian counterintelligence has excelled at. So this is just, this is a fun day at the office for the KGB.
Yes, they love to fuck with us. And now they're doing it without us doing anything or about them doing anything. Now they're living in our heads rent-free. Isn't that fun? And
isn't
they're really
that
excited.
Nice? We gave
they
them the
it.
Keys. Why
they
not?
Really love it. They really love just how much control they have over the U.S. people without doing anything.
No. Human beings are very susceptible to misinformation. What city would you think nuke first?
Oh, you know what I do? Okay, listen.
Uh-huh.
I know, yes, of course, you're going to say New York, L.A. Yes, that's what everybody
wants. Well,
that's
how you're going to get the most amount of death, if that's what you're going for.
That's
I don't know what you're
saying.
Going for.
Sure. But at the same time, L.A.'s got so many candles and so many crystals, we might block out the psychic attack, right? That's what we do. New York, you got the whole Bushwick witch thing going on
sure.
right now. You guys are getting a little bit more L.A., I hate to say it. You get more of the incense. I know you, in New York, Satanists and witches don't want to hear about it, but you're going to start wearing pastels soon. I bet you will.
Nah,
I know it's going to get
you. I don't know. We have too much
to
trash. There's too much trash here to ever get fully L.A.
No, it's true. Yes, yeah, so you can't muck up your white sneakers and your vaguely tan bodysuits.
No.
But I think, yes, New York might also deflect a psychic attack. You know who might be right for it?
Okay.
Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona. But Arizona, that's a place full of crystals.
No.
Quartz
Sedona
is a massive thing there.
Sedona is, but Sedona doesn't like Phoenix. Phoenix is the big city, I guess.
Wow.
This is what I'm just saying. I'm making up all of these rivalries. I don't know if that's true or not. But I feel like if you're going to go for, because Phoenix also fairly conservative city. You know what I mean? Maybe they're not as much as the
Major League
stuff.
Baseball. If MLB comes back, though, they're going to be performing in Phoenix. I feel like this is an affront not to Phoenix, but to America's greatest pastime.
I don't want them to attack Phoenix. I would say, but I'm saying Phoenix is up there. Phoenix is a good sideways choice. They're not seeing it. They're not ready for it. All of a sudden, they've been disappeared by a group of Russian psychics. You know what? Also, you know who would really freak in? You know who would really freak out?
Who?
Denver.
Denver, it would definitely freak out, although do we want Denver to go? They're on the front lines of weed
legalization. This is not
right.
Want. This is me putting money on who does the psychics attack in order to surprise us.
Oh, man. I just feel like Denver is also one of those cities that might be on the tip of the spear when it comes to the third eye opening. They're so stoned.
Oh,
I'm
you're
not
right.
sure if
no,
that
but
would be...
Aleister Crowley does talk about that. Weed does fuck with your ability to be psychic.
It doesn't help it, huh? It messes
no,
with it?
It messes with it. Actually, it's what allows my brain to shut down.
Huh. Well, I am in a rock in a hard place, but you know what I'm going to go with? Because I want to see this state succeed. And I love the people of this state. But my God, do we need an emotional, psychological, spiritual change in Indiana. Yeah. I would like to do this.
They need a sign. Just they need India. A sign. They need some attention from Russia.
They need
some attention from Russia.
I'll put on my Make America whatever. Russia, help out Indiana. I'll be like, congrats, you saved our Chernobyl.
Someone needs to come and save Indiana, and maybe one of their cities psychically disappearing might be the wake-up call they're looking for.
Maybe get rid of Gary so that they don't just have a claim to fame on the side of the highway, which was Michael Jackson's house that he was abused in. That is not an amusement park.
And I am sick and tired of people looking down on Mr. Jackson and what he did to create one of the biggest pop figures of all time.
I did love someone DM'd me on Instagram way back in the day, because we've been doing the live stream for Adult Swim, adultswim.com/streams for 6-7 years now? 5 years? Yes. Something like that.
No. Well, 3 years.
3 years. Whatever. It's been years. And we did get into an argument about MJ. You stand corrected. As a matter of fact, or you stand correct that you did say that Michael was doing some negative things to the children. Marcus says he does not believe so. This was many years ago.
Some negative things to the children.
That's what you said. Yes, I said, I don't know what's going on.
I didn't know that he liked watching buttholes like they were old school silent films.
No.
But now I do know that. And isn't that fucking great?
All right, well, let's move on to some Easter news, because we did have Easter, and
he has risen.
And then he was told, go back inside.
And he's like, thank God, I just wanted to play the PlayStation. I don't know why I use it as my Jesus voice. I never got Easter. I feel like Easter has been elevated as a holiday over the last couple of years.
Well,
I never particularly enjoyed Easter. I'm not even talking about just from the Christian aspect.
No.
I just don't really get the holiday necessarily.
Easter is it's a pretty significant holiday.
I remember from being a Catholic, those are the 2 days you had to go. You had to go Easter, you had to go Christmas.
Well, my parents, I love my parents for this, and I don't know if it taught me priorities that are all wrong, but they used to put money in the plastic Easter eggs. They would put little coins, and then sometimes there'd be a $5 or a $10 bill in there. I thought that was really nice. But this story is about a woman who didn't really do something nice. She did something a little bit more criminal. A woman, her name is April Sestoni. She's a 42-year-old gal, and I want to say this before we get into this story. You're going to tell me we find out someone is putting porno pics in Easter eggs, which is what this woman did.
Yeah.
In your brain, we don't know it's a woman. What are you thinking? You are thinking
it's a man.
You're thinking it's a man.
I wonder if it's me accidentally and I forgot that I did it.
So I want to say, women, they can be creeps too. This 42-year-old woman, she had 400 plastic Easter eggs along with pamphlets containing pornographic images. So she popped those porno images in the Easter eggs, and she also really committed a crime here, because inside of the same Easter egg, she would put a goldfish cracker, a packet of drink mix, or a piece of toilet paper. All right, that is not acceptable. I open up an Easter egg, the porno I'm actually fine with. I'll be like, thank you for the weird porno. I don't care. It's kind of strange. It's coming from you. But you're going to give me goldfish? You're going to give me goldfish on Easter?
I'm fine with the goldfish. It just feels, I don't like them all loose like that.
No, it's disgusting.
You know what I mean? I prefer to be in some form of carrying chamber, a little packet or something. I think that she might have either been, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, mentally ill, or this might be her own crusade against Easter to show. I mean, because my mind, in pornographic images of any holiday, it's most appropriate in Easter. It's all about eggs and bunnies, and all bunnies do is fuck. It's all about rising again. It is a fertility rite. So I understand trying to make everybody horny.
I suppose so. And her name is April Sestoni. I think I may have said April before, but it's April with a B. So at first, all these people are opening up their mailboxes being like, what the hell are these Easter eggs with toilet paper, a goldfish, can, of course, the goldfish cracker, a drip mix, and then porno pictures. People thought she was giving out COVID-19. But she was like, no, I don't got no COVID-19 virus. I don't care. I'm not trying to spread that. She's just trying to spread love. So when the cops caught the woman, this is what they had to say. They say The woman made several incoherent statements and rants about the church and local clergy and stated, quote, that she included the images because homosexuals are allowed to each in the church to eat. I'm assuming that means eat in the church.
Sure.
Basically, she's upset that gay people are allowed to go to her church.
So this is a whole mission she was on. This is the end of a saga.
This is a whole problem that she has been dealing with. And it's just, again, Abril Sestoni, if you look at the picture, doesn't seem like the kind of person who would have all these complaints, but evidently she's got a lot of issues. So
she's getting real out here, man. It's coronavirus.
Coronavirus. So she was seen placing all these eggs in mailboxes. Callers noted she was driving a 2004 silver Honda Civic. They called the
Stop bragging, by the way.
I know. They called the police department. They looked into it. The cops stopped the car and saw a cardboard box sitting on the passenger seat filled with pamphlets containing graphic images of women and men engaged in various sex acts.
Do you understand it's unlawful to distribute eggs without your patented COVID-19 bunny ears? That's how you arrest somebody in this time age, because she wasn't following fucking protocol, man. You got to wear the bunny ears if you're going to be out there.
What makes this story even more weird is that Sestoni, obviously, again, started ranting immediately about gay people in the church, all this stuff.
Mm.
She didn't just find this porno. She created these pamphlets herself using PowerPoint.
There's so much time. People are baking bread. People are making their own pornos. There's a lot of self taught skill making going on in this whole fucking country right now.
Okay, Henry, you might like this. She said that she was, quote, a church. She is a church. A little secular humanist there. And that she'd been conducting research, quote, on local clergy, and that people, quote, deserve to know the truth, and that church employees should pay back their salaries to the public. She said she was,
that's
quote,
the only
educating
thing she's been
people.
She's been the only thing she has been correct about so far. That is all correct. I do see a little bit of the, I don't like her that gay people shouldn't be allowed to go to the church. That's patently wrong. But the idea of keeping the churches open on Sunday, for Easter Sunday, I understand why they did that. It's because they want money. But every single time you keep a church open and people go, that's another fucking 3 days. We're all going to have to sit inside.
Well, theoretically, but they are bathed in the blood of Christ. So Abril also made several rants in relation to no one taking care of the elderly, and the church employees' salaries will cover the medical costs. So she just wants to allocate funds differently here, really.
And she's being an FDR.
She really is. She really is. And so this is according to Sheriff Rick Staley. He said, our team did a great job in tracking down this deranged offender and taking her into custody. He goes on to say, thankfully, she did not appear to be sick with COVID-19 symptoms, but she certainly needs some help. This again proves that see something, say something works. And we need to thank the community for being part of our guardianship policing philosophy. She's being charged with 11 counts of distributing obscene material, driving with a suspended license, violating Executive Order 2091 for conducting travel not related to essential activity. That's creepy as shit. And she is being held at the county jail for $7,000 bond. So there you go. She's sending out some nudes. Not the worst thing I've ever heard anyone doing. Again, the goldfish cracker is very offensive. But the reason behind it is something that I'm not sure if I'm ever going to wrap my head around.
Yeah, I feel like it's like that a lot of times, and I imagine that she has not been understood by a lot of people, and I think that she needs to go to a brain hospital.
Yes, that's one way to put it. I agree.
But what can you do? Because these days, brain hospitals, they're full, aren't they? You got to be your own brain hospital.
Yeah,
that's
well,
what
I self-diagnose,
and I self-treat.
Really?
What
have you self-diagnosed yourself with lately?
I work too hard and I care too much. That's just the truth.
Is that really? Wow. Well,
I am in awe of how much I care. Uh-huh. And I care so much and I give so much. It's getting in the way of me taking care of myself.
Right. Well, thank you so much for coming into this interview at FedEx, Mr. Zabrowski. you're not wearing any pants.
No, because from what I heard is that COVID don't come dick first.
Technically, you're hired. I don't know why, but you just got yourself a job.
I do want to bring up quickly, if you look up, if you go to Singular, if you go to singular40ian.com, I like how they've switched the messaging on Tom DeLonge. They no longer say Blink-182's Tom DeLonge. They say the TTSA's Tom DeLonge, which is very, very sad. I think that the rest of Blink-182 is probably relieved. But Tom DeLonge, he shared a video of a UFO on social media that he took picture of, which he said, look, I saw this thing, I guess, above the skies of Encinitas, which is near San Diego.
Okay.
He said that he saw this, according to his post. So last night, I get a text from somebody that says, there's a UAP right above the beach where I live. I run on my balcony, so I split into two pieces and rise vertically. I grab Marie. Jumped in my truck and went straight down to the beach. We're the only ones on the beach last night. As the light disappeared, rip head broken to three passes and stacked vertically with one little red dot flying around the top and then disappeared for the rest of the evening. This video doesn't show much. We were quite late watching the light dance around half a mile off the beach. I don't know why he got British.
I don't know either, but I love it. So he got a message from the Tom DeLonge secret alien phone. Which
is yeah, and he went out to go to, but no one texted me. It was Dutch, and it was fire and orange. Of course, I called up Lou Elizondo, as my fucking bro, and as I was there, and he was telling me all these things I was supposed to do with location, geographic details, weather, altitude, and distance. Of course, I was completely worthless when it came to those details. I mean, fuck yeah, dude, I fucking played guitar, man. But yes, big deal last night in San Diego, California. Lou checked immediately. There were no flights in the air except one that I had my eyes on the entire time. No military, no boats, and a bunch of hovering lights that were stacking on top of each other. Wow. Who knows? I guess this is growing up.
Whoa!
Apparently, so they put, and everyone's like, it's just a light. Because on his social media, it's just a little light. But apparently, there were many people that saw this UFO display over Encinitas, California. And there are many pictures of it, of a series of lights stacking up vertical, and then whoop, whoop, and a little thing flying around the top of it, and it's absolutely wild, and it just makes my fucking dick hard.
It's one of those things where it's all coming from Tom DeLonge, and I like Tom. It's just what's so fun about ufology is that it's coming from Tom DeLonge. You know, yep. We always get the most important information from the people that maybe we didn't think we needed, but it's the people we deserve. And I love Mr. DeLonge for that.
These are the people standing up and fighting for our rights in ufology. That man who is technically single-handedly ruining it only just because the UFO community is very, very upset about the TTSA. I'm going to go into a little bit more detail over the next couple episodes, but they are very, very upset. They've been upset.
What's the TTSA?
It's the To the Stars Academy that Tom DeLonge started. And he's basically got a bunch of old school spooks that used to work for Robert Bigelow, various arms of the CIA, various arms of covert ops. He's basically just paying them out, and they are just on his team.
Right.
So there's some people that are mad. I think largely it has to do with just the influx of money and how people are afraid that it's going to taint their research.
Right.
But, I think ufology desperately needs an influx of cash. But who knows what this is all going to roll out to. But I want to get a little bit more deeper.
Yeah.
Because I've seen this. The TTSA is just ripping the UFO community apart. They are just falling all over themselves. And I want to watch The Hunt for Skinwalker, which is on Nat Geo right now. Apparently, it's a good series. I'll watch that and kind of come back with a little bit of a UFO update.
All right. That sounds great. Was there any government response? Did any local municipalities be like, yeah, nothing. It was just this. It was just the eyewitness accounts. I mean, sometimes they do come out, like we saw with the Phoenix lights, and be like, nah, it's a bunch of fire. It's a bunch of Chinese lanterns.
Horseshit. The reason why is that they fucking doubled up. They did the Phoenix light. When the Phoenix lights happened, the next day they did say, no, actually, we were in the middle of testing a bunch of flares.
Right.
And then they showed the flares up. They shot a bunch of flares in the sky. And you said, see, that's what we were doing this whole time. But they were not.
They were not the same thing.
Okay.
The Phoenix Lights was a gigantic, solid craft. You fucking asshole. You didn't even dare doubt me, Kissel.
Hey,
you
buddy.
You didn't dare.
I'm not even doubting you. I thought that, I think you're onto something. And again, I can't wait to be abducted on one of these ships and finally be able to go and hang out at a bar again.
What are they going to do? They're going to have to get one of those fucking, like, lifts for dolphins? How am I supposed to get you up in there?
You little bastard. You schmuck. You. Oh. All right, let's do Hero of the Week.
Ben just took a shower on tour.
This week's Hero of the Week, he's an Italian man. You gotta love him. His name is Mario Salerno. He's wearing a tracksuit in this picture. He's a New York City landlord. Rarely do we get to praise New York City landlords, but this dude, he's got 200 tenants, and he has said no one's got to pay rent for the month of April. He goes on to say, I want everyone to be healthy. That's the whole thing. Mario Salerno, he's a 59-year-old. He owns 80 apartments across Williamsburg and Greenpoint, Brooklyn. He said after some of his tenants told him they were worried about paying rent because they lost their jobs, he decided to take action. On March 30th, he posted a notice on the front doors of all his buildings announcing, due to the coronavirus pandemic affecting all of us, please note that I am waiving rent for the month of April. One of his tenants said she'd been out of work since she was ordered to shut down her hair salon. She said, quote, he's Superman. He's a wonderful man. It's a game changer. So that was really sweet. So that's extremely nice. And I hope more landlords take note as the government is not forcing this to happen. If you can and you're a large corporate landlord, please, God, give your tenants a break. Mario Salerno, you are Hero of the Week. And then just a second kind of another little sidecar hero. There's a little dog that provides wine deliveries for a Maryland winery. And he grabs the little wine in his mouth and he goes, and it's for distance. So when you can drop something off without touching someone, you know what I'm talking about there.
It is very cute.
Yes, he's a delivery boy dog.
That is very cute. I wish that we weren't forcing our dogs to work, but that's how this new economy is going to be. But I also wonder if that, do you think that a landlord's making up for the money just by selling a bunch of girls out of the fucking basement or something? I never truly believe the good word of a New York landlord.
I don't either. But anyway, that's Salerno. That's Mario. We'll see what his crimes are. That'll come out next month.
Very soon.
But as of right now, Soda Pup, that's the name of the dog that delivers all the food. Soda Pup, according to the World Health Organization, there's no evidence dogs can contract or spread COVID. So he was deputized by the Stonehouse. Anyway, the guy, this dog is delivering you booze. All right, there you go.
Yeah, so just get into it.
Let's get into it.
I just want to read a couple stories here from our listeners that I find to be interesting.
All right.
And I hope that you'll find them to be interesting as well. First of all, this comes from a biologist. We talked a little bit about how there were being massive pterosaurs and weird little extinct dinosaur birds being seen in North Carolina currently. And this biologist had some information, not for us.
Ooh.
I taught biology for several years, and I'm a wildlife biologist with a specialization in raptor biology. That's giant birds like hawks, eagles, owls. So here's some possible explanations to these modern-day pterosaur sightings. Pterosaurs did not go extinct at the end of the Cretaceous period, as previously thought. So that's number one. Such a large predator is most likely a candidate to be able to survive and undetected by reputable scientists, since their population size could be the lowest. However, this explanation is extremely unlikely. It's extremely unlikely. Two, people are witnessing a new species. While scientifically plausible, this one is also highly unlikely. Pterosaurs are most closely related to modern-day birds.
Okay.
It's not impossible that a new raptor species could have evolved, maybe a descendant of hawks, egrets, or eagles. However, evolution usually happens on a scale of many, many generations. Rarely a new species can emerge in fewer generations like this, but it's usually the result of extreme environmental pressure.
All right.
Three. People are witnessing a new species that escaped from a lab. Left this one here especially for you, Henry. Less than a decade ago, researchers in Kansas created a new lizard species that can produce its own clones through unfertilized eggs. This species was created by breeding different species of whiptail lizards. As to whether a pterosaur could have been synthetically created in a lab, Jurassic Park style, Uh-huh. It's highly unlikely.
Ah.
But we have made incredible advances in genetic technology. We are still probably many years away from being able to synthetically recreate old species. Even if the technology exists, it resides in some super secret lab, most likely government owned, but I doubt we will ever hear about it. And number four, the last reason is that it's fake. In 2008, Live Science interviewed Rick Lind, a mechanical and aerospace engineer in the University of Florida. He and his team were working to create a pterosaur-like drone with flapping wings and a crest on its head. It's much more likely that this sort of thing actually exists today. And so, it's a bummer, but who knows? What I say is try to catch one of them birds.
Absolutely. And if it's a drone, feel free to shoot it down. I think that part three was actually the most interesting because it doesn't seem like it's out of the realm of possibility that we could indeed have a Jurassic Park one day for our children to go to.
Well, I'm mad.
Why?
Because I want it to be real. I want dinosaurs.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point. I mean, the email said that they can basically do it now.
It's just
the government's got to open it up.
Saying whatever he's going to say.
Okay. All right. All right, here we go. Interesting.
I asked last week because we talked about this week on our Giant Humanoids episode, we talked about the Giant of Kandahar, which was a very fun news story about apparently a group of U.S. troops killing a giant in Afghanistan. So I want to hear about if there were rumors of giants in the caves.
Mm.
So here we go. This is an email. I was in Afghanistan around Kandahar from 2010 to 2011. While I was there, fellow soldiers told fabled tales of everything from Area 50 poo, which was a giant shit lake in the middle of the base, to cannibals that lived in the caves all over the Kandahar mountain areas. The story on the cannibals I heard was that when the Soviets invaded, they kept a stock of nukes around this area. People infected and mutated from radiation were ousted by the community. They fled to the caves in the mountains, where some people made their own communities. The only meat many could get from the animals and occasional people that wandered and got lost in the cave networks. They became partial to human flesh, and over time created offspring that were born infected with radiation and are taught to find, kill, and eat human flesh.
Ooh.
So who knows?
Damn. All right. I don't like that. Could have done without that, sir.
I thought it was a really fun story. Now, here's these two. I want to do these two more stories a little bit longer, but I couldn't choose between them.
Okay.
One day, I found a listing for a paid medical study that entailed someone coming to your home to collect a stool sample for $60. Right? This is during our last economic crisis in 2008.
What a job that is.
Oh, yeah. 34-year-old me now recognizes that a legit medical study would probably not take place in the comfort of my own bathroom. But 22-year-old me thought that this sounded like a great deal. So I emailed them and I got a response telling me, they found this over Craigslist, by the
okay.
way.
Okay. Oh,
telling
yeah,
me, yes, of course. Telling me that someone would arrive at my house at an agreed-upon time with a collection container. I would then shit into the container and give it to the collection person. They repeatedly mentioned that my shit had to be solid and it would be large enough to use in the study or I would not be paid. However, they never said what the exact size and consistency it was required to be. Again, 34-year-old me can hear the alarm bells and see the several hundred red flags waving around, but 22-year-old me did not.
Right.
So the day arrives. I'm hanging out with my male roommates and my boyfriend, now husband, chugging some coffee and getting ready for the big show. The collection person arrives, and this dude does not in any way resemble a person working for a medical study.
Okay.
It's a young man, our age or younger, in a cheap suit and tie. My husband is actually bigger than Kissel. He's 6'9", around 350 pounds, and the dude seemed very startled and nervous to find me in the company of a big, scary giant and some other lesser goons. Side note, I really want my husband and Ben to be best friends and make me the meat in a bear sandwich.
That's, we'll get to the Dookie story here.
Oh, yeah, we'll see how this pans out. So he hands me this hard plastic container that fits on my toilet seat. I make a perfectly long and solid shit. I screw that lid on and hand it over. He can stress that it needed to be solid and big enough.
Uh-huh.
And off he went. Weeks go by, I never get my check. I email them to ask where my money is, and the person again asked me if I was sure if it was solid enough. And if I didn't get paid, that's probably why.
What?
I went back on Craigslist and found a flurry of posters
a flurry of postings by other people who also never got paid for their samples and were told the same story. They were told their shit wasn't big and solid enough to be paid.
Oh,
it wasn't
my.
Until then that it dawned on my dumbass that this is definitely not a medical study. 12 years later, and I am still dying to know what my shit was used for, who that guy was, and if he would have tried to assault me or pull some other bullshit if my husband and roommates weren't there. I'll take the 60 buck hit. Because it gave me a great story to tell, and
yeah.
It's endlessly entertaining to imagine what my shit was used for.
Well, I remember, think we kids, all know.
But remember, kids, it's probably a bad idea to let a stranger from the internet into your home to collect your shit for cash, unless, of course, it's part of a healthy and mutually consensual sex act.
Yeah, but it does seem like you got to get the cash up front. You got to get the cash pre-poo.
At least, you know, I'd say $30 deposit,
right?
$30 upon completion.
Absolutely. I completely agree. That's the ignorance of youth. This would have been a fine way to make $60. I actually understand you're 22 years old. $60 is 22-year-old speak. That is a cube of Natty Light. That's a hell. You can get
That's a pallet.
That's a pallet of booze. You can get some smokes for that, and you could probably get snacks for the night.
Get a couple of BKs, man. Get a couple of burgers in there.
Yeah. That's a good 36 hours of partying right there with that $60.
No, I remember that. I'm a Florida State man. We can make that. I remember we used to have a drive-through keg place. So you go through and you could throw your, you go through a window and they would put the kegs at the back of your car. That was fun.
I love getting kegs.
And I remember thinking like $45. That's an incredible amount of money. Like, you know, you had to get all the money together
The $45
kegs.
Yep.
Yeah. But then it was fucking, but then you drink for like 3 days.
It was biblical. It never ended.
There we go. So this is one last story. I know I'm telling a lot this week, but this
it's
is
good.
This one I just fucking, I love.
All right.
This comes from a listener's father that listener's father would tell the story as a child. He was in the Marines during the Vietnam War, about 1967 to 1970, and he had plenty of awful stories that would make you question humanity and patriotism that he would let slip if properly liquored up. Like Henry's father, he became a police officer in the 70s to 90s in New York City. This produced a certain type of stoic yet headstrong man who doesn't like to talk much about the past. But one story in particular piqued my interest as a kid because it involved the unknown. It seemed the paranormal had slipped through the veil in the battlefield.
Oh.
He was a designated radio man, which meant he kept a heavy backpack with telephone receiver on the back that could reach command. In essence, he was very important to keep alive, as without him, you were not getting backup or medevac helicopters to ferry the grievously injured.
Okay.
So essentially, his squad and himself were coming back from an exercise that saw minor contact with the NVA to their fire support base that they were based out of, when they were ambushed in the jungle by an overwhelming amount of Viet Cong. They're the trees! His squad was dishing out what they could, but it was clear they weren't going to survive the ambush. Gunships or evac helicopters could not make it in time. Despite radioing in for assistance, they were surrounded and outnumbered. The Viet Cong used subterranean tunnels to get behind lines often, and it clearly cut off their path to the base. All seemed lost. A few men were dead, and the rest dangerously low in ammunition. It seemed the jungle would claim more lives today, when my dad noticed the jungle had darkened. But only in their immediate vicinity. He could see the shining sun over the jungle canopy. Behind their position, a purple cloud had formed and was moving toward them. My father described that upon seeing it, he felt a fear that even combat with his innumerable 6.62 39mm rounds raining on him could not produce. It felt like the eyes of an angry god were upon him. He could feel his nervous system looking up and he hit the deck, letting the purple cloud pass over him. He heard the gunfire from both sides slowly stop, his surviving squad mates yelling exclamations of terror, and immediately cries in Vietnamese in the distance. When he arose from the ground, it was dead quiet. The purple cloud had passed through them and into the Vietnamese fire line and continued onward. No enemy fire came, and very soon the sounds of helicopters came gracing their weary ears. Soon the deceased were aboard helicopters, and my father and his squad mates followed suit. The door gunner looked at my dad and asked, "What the hell happened down there?" He explains to my father they'd seen a huge purple cloud that looked like a sandstorm pass over the area, enveloping the jungle before they got there. As for the Viet Cong, they had seemingly retreated into their tunnels or the jungle when seeing this strange purple mist. Whatever it was, it stopped further bloodshed that day on both sides.
My dad would usually reiterate at this point that, what he felt to his core when seeing it was that it was on no one's side. It was angry, and it wanted everyone out of that jungle. He would state emphatically that the primal fear that enveloped him when he saw it was unlike any other he had ever experienced. In 20 years of being a firefighter and cop, produced no competition to it today. What was in the jungles of Vietnam that day? I wonder about it sometimes. Unfortunately, my dad was killed by a drunk driver when I was a teenager, so I cannot pick his brains further on this.
All right. Well, never drink and drive. Okay, so I'm going to speculate Prince. Was it Prince? We have a purple cloud coming through. Only Prince could stop the bullets flying.
Well, only if they all started. Only if they started all dancing uncontrollably.
Yeah. Well, that is a awesome story. And we hear a lot of different stories like that. I'm not sure if we could ever do like a last podcast episode on something like that, but like the war, remember to meme story when yes. We did the listener pasta, the door was locked from the inside. There's a lot of torture going on. Like there's so, by the way, I saw to meme, I believe in Orlando or it was upstate to meme. Hello. I love you. The war zones are freaking ultra sensitive. It seems like.
Weird shit happens. There's also a fairly, I forget which war it took, but like, you know, massive angel sightings and UFO sightings. One day we'll do ghosts in the military. We did haunted battlefields once a long time ago.
Many
but
years.
I feel like that's a very solid potential episode.
Yes. Solid as a duke. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Side Stories. We are excited to be with you for another wonderful week here in this world of ours.
In this world, get the book. Last Book on the Left is out there.
Yes.
Go take a look at it. Try and fucking get that shit. We're coming to you in August, provided they allow us to. But we are going to. We're going to be there. I think we're going to be there no matter what. I'm not certain.
We're optimistic August is going to be all right. That's where we're putting the work in now. And we're just going to ask what the hell happened. We'll be like, what is this? Like, what? What in the world happened? I cannot wait for all of this to be in the rear view mirror.
Me too. And also, blastpodcastmerch.com.
Yeah.
Check out our new merch page. Again, 6.66%. It is going to charity for people who lost their jobs during this time period. We had one fair wage. So go and check out your big boy merch needs or your sexy woman merch needs.
Oh, yes, indeed. And we got some big sizes in there. Also Kind of Fun. We got a new Kind of Fun shirt. So pick that up. And we have some new. Yeah. Anyway, we'll be updating the merch store relatively regularly. We're so excited to be working with our new merch company. They've been I honestly it's just cool to have merch that we would wear.
I love them. And I got my shirt in the mail the other day and it's actually very high quality. So I want to congratulate us on that.
Congrats. Yes, indeed. Well, of course. We hope that we create things of quality, not a trash. So thank you all so much for the great response to the new merch. And thank you for the great response to the book. And yes, we will be on the road with you very soon. We will hug and we will shake hand. We will be one of hand.
I actually don't know if we probably won't be able to touch anybody. And that's mostly a bummer for you, Kissel.
It's a bummer for them because they attack me.
No, they do like to grab on you. They really do.
We'll see whatever it is.
So live every day like you fucking, you know, they say, oh, quarantine time. You got plenty of time to figure out that side hustle.
Ugh.
You know what's a good way to do it? Just a Tupperware and a dream. So think about it. Right? Get that Tupperware going.
Is that a dookie? That's a dookie suggestion?
Yep. Live every day knowing for a fact that all you need is a Tupperware to go make some money in this time period.
Sure.
Everybody's trying to find it, or at least trying to, because if you get the shit, you could sell the shit to farmers to grow food. So fucking live that reality. Love your job. You got a suit on. Yeah, you're 20 years old. Maybe you just got human trafficked. But you're excited to be a part of the workforce. So you go out there. You don't want to meet anybody in person, but you say, hey, I'm going to give you this Tupperware. Take a shit in it. Go inside your home. Come back out with it. I'll take it out here on the curb. You can just leave it. I don't even need to touch you. That's, again, you got that shit right there. Boom, boom, boom. Love that. Laugh. Like you got a big Tupperware full of shit and you're looking at it and you already know it's not solid enough for them to get any money. So now what you got is some free ass shit, buddy.
Well,
and you laugh and 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 laugh. And then what you do is you sell it to some German so he can smell it like it's a fucking cologne because that's what they love over there.
Well, you can always put it in the freezer, I guess, try to trick them a little bit. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
And it's a good summer to read.
Kill us both. I'm going to kill us both.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.